If you are able, would you stand for the reading of God's infallible and inerrant holy word? From 2 Timothy, beginning with verse 1 and going through verse 7, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. He's praying for Timothy. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. I am persuaded also in you. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. O Lord, by the power of thy Holy Spirit, open unto us your truth through the word of God. Amen. We are going to have a revival, we hope. You know, we can announce a revival, but that does not guarantee or make a revival. And in my reflection over watching Christian culture and today, I find that people are often confused about the nature of what a revival is. We think of the great crusades of Dr. Graham, who has blessed my life and blessed the lives of so many. But those meetings may have resulted in some revival, but they were not revival meetings. We often think that the aim of revival is the conversion of sinners. And we certainly hope that happens. But today I want us to be clarified in our thinking as to what we are looking forward to next week. Yes, there's been much misunderstanding about the nature of a true revival. It is not an evangelistic campaign, although that may result. That happens at revivals, people get saved, but that's not its real aim. Oh, that certainly should be the aim of the church on the outside in the world. I have a quote up there from my favorite preacher. As I've told you that all of my favorite preachers, but two are dead. I'm one of them. But Charles Stanley is another one. I love him. And Michael Youssef, I've got lots of favorites. I was being facetious. But Charles Spurgeon, the great Baptist preacher from London, I guess I'm really a particular Baptist in my thinking, if you want to know the truth. Charles Spurgeon also said, listen to this, if somebody is not talking about Jesus, I question whether they really know him. That is right as rain, folks. And a revival, hopefully, will result in so many changes in a life. A revival is not about having an emotional good time. I have friends that are Pentecostals. I'm not a Pentecostal. There's some weaknesses in Pentecostal doctrine. I won't go into that today, but I remember talking to a Pentecostal one time and said, "Oh, you should have been at our church. We had a great meeting. The Holy Spirit really came down." And I said, "Oh, you mean sinners were converted and it was brought to the remembrance of all of you everything Jesus said, and that the world was convicted of its sin, and that he was the only source of righteousness and salvation?" They said, "Well, no, that didn't happen." I knew immediately what they were. They had emotional singing and shouting, which is all right. But that's not necessarily a sign that the Holy Spirit's there. The Bible tells us the things I ask him happen when the Holy Spirit comes down. Jesus said that, you know. He didn't say a thing about speaking in tongues and jumping up and down. Didn't say one word about it. But we may have an emotional and happy time, but that's not the aim. Revival is not for the world. Now, that's an important line for you to remember today. A revival is not for the world, although it may have a profound effect upon the world. Revival is for the church. Now, let's be clear. When I talk about the church, this building, I was here when the first part of it was built. This building is not the church. I like what the old Puritans used to teach. This is a meeting house for God's people. It's not the church. It's a meeting house for God's people. Dedicated to him, but it's for God's people. The church is sitting right in front of me in the pews. That is the real church. God forbid that a tornado come through tonight and just wipe this building away. But that could happen. But if it does happen, that does not mean Lakeview Church is destroyed, because Lakeview Church is a people, not a place or a building. Now, you need to understand that you are the church of Jesus Christ, those of you who have been saved, who have been called of the Holy Spirit, and had your lives transformed through his grace. That is the church. Gathered together. As I tell you all the time, if you love Jesus, you'll love the church. These people say, "I love Jesus, but I'm not a part of the church." They're liars. Because if you love Christ, you will love what he loves. And the scriptures tell us what, my friends. You know it in your heart. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. But the message of revival is for the church. Before the service today, as you young people and some of you not so young people were leading us in that beautiful song, I just raised my hands up to pray to God, and I prayed for you. I prayed that the Holy Spirit will fall on you as with great tongues of fire, and that you'll be renewed to a level of spiritual life in Christ you've never known before. You see, that is the purpose of revival. Revival is given to the church to bring it back to life. And some of you may not be excited about your Christian life. Some of you may not be thrilled to be in the presence of God and hearing his word. Some of that happens to us, doesn't it? The old-time preachers call that backsliding. That's a reality. Believers can backslide. Did you know that? Revival is for the church. It is for you, where your heart and life will be changed. Do you want your life changed, believers? Do you want to live more constantly in the presence of Christ? Do you want your every desire and thought to be shaped seeking to glorify Him and have His will rule over your life? Are you wanting that? Are you wanting, as the choir sang and taught us, to know that Savior at a deeper level who's going to sustain you in times of trouble? And they're coming, friends. Joel Osteen won't tell you that, but I will tell you. They're coming. They're coming to every person in this room. How do I know that? Because Jesus said it. Now, they may not say it down there in Texas, but Jesus said it. In this world, you are going to have trials and tribulations. And I've walked through some of those places. And I've still got more of them coming. I was talking to Lynn, our secretary. What a godly, helpful servant of Christ that woman is. We're blessed to have her. We ought to have a Lynn Appreciation Day sometime. Really, we ought to. But I was going out the office this week, and I said, well, I'm getting old. The only thing good about that is that I'm gonna die soon. Well, sooner than I was yesterday. That's true for all of us, though. And she said, well, that's a morbid thing to say. I said, no, it's not. I got a wonderful home waiting on me. That's why I'm not afraid of the world. Revival. Do you want revival in your heart? Do you want the Lord to so live in you that it pushes anything out of your mind and your thinking and your desires that does not bring Him glory and honor? Do you want that? Are you satisfied with where you are spiritually? Well, if your answer is yes, you're in trouble. Because we look to the Lord and His way and His Spirit and His will, and if we're honest with ourselves, we will acknowledge, I'm not where I ought to be. A real revival is where the way we see, do, and think, the way we see, do, and think is changed. Do you want a revival? Well, if you want a revival, I want to tell you that there are three things that need to happen, and I'm not a three-point preacher, as you all know, but there are three things that need to happen. First, a real revival will result in a deep self-examination and repentance. You will look into your heart, my friends, and you will examine it in the light of the holiness of Jesus Christ. I was talking to a fellow a while back who was telling me about all the problems in churches and how short the people are in coming up to the standard. And that may be true, you know. It may be true. But I told him, I said, well, let me tell you what your problem is. Your problem is you're following the followers rather than following the leader. It ain't about Gerald Sanders. It's about the Lord Jesus. It ain't about you. That's what measures truth. And if we come into His holy presence and we really open our lives up to His light, one of the things it will do is shine upon us and reveal to us things in our life that are not giving God glory and honoring the Savior which saved us. And every one of you sitting out there has got secret sins. Maybe it's something you do. Maybe it's an attitude you have. Maybe it's a measurement of joy that has nothing to do with the Lord. All kinds of things. It's painful when you really open your life up to the Lord's review. But if the source of that pain is healing, and when you examine yourself and you see things in your life that is not of Christ, of attitudes you have towards somebody or something, of the way you use your time and your money, of what your ultimate concerns are. Maybe it's success in career or this or that. And you open yourselves up to that examination and you say, you know, I have to be honest. This is not in the way of Christ. My priorities are not where they ought to be. My desires are not what they ought to have. Lord, you know it. Forgive me. I repent. The Greek word for repentance is metanoia, which means to turn around, to change. You know, let me tell you something. These politicians, oh, I'm so sorry about doing this. And they go right on and do it. You know what I'm talking about. And people do the same that aren't politicians. I'm so sorry. But there is no desire to change. And true repentance will always call upon the Lord to help you to change and to turn from sin to live for Him. And when a revival happens in a life, and listen, the only way revival is going to happen at Lakeview is if it happens in you. The onus is on you. Because what revivals are for, they're for you. And God, you will discover that when you truly repent, you don't overcome it immediately, maybe. Sometimes you do, but it will. God will introduce you into the struggle against sin. And you know what? There's a bunch of sins that used to bother me that no longer bother me. Because not by me, but by the power of God's Holy Spirit, they've been blotted out of my life. Now, there's plenty more to go, but I simply want to say that true repentance leads to a change in your life. I talk to people sometimes, think, well, I just don't feel fulfilled. Well, you're not going to get fulfilled seeking the world. Or I say, well, that church, I'm just not getting fed. I said, my Lord, you've been a Christian for 25 years. You ought to be feeding people instead of being expected to be fed. Any Christian that says that is a Christian that is not in the Word of God. Now, you may be in a false church. That's a different issue. If anybody came to me from Brother Massey's church down there, what a wonderful God to me, a godly man, and said to me, Brother Sanders, I've just been innocent. Look at your chest because I'm not being fed. I said, you're being fed. You're just not coming to the table. Because that man preaches the Word of God. It results in the membership of the church getting right with God. A revival results in you and me getting right with God. And let me tell you something. I love this church with all my heart. I've told Elizabeth that the last place I want to be when I leave this world is when my box is sitting up here. I love Lakeview Church. But let me tell you, we got a problem. This church right now is full of people sitting right here in the pew that not one time last week did you witness to Jesus Christ and encourage a lost person to come to Him. I know that. You know what I said last Sunday about burying your talent in the ground? We do that. You know why we have so many young people in our young people's movement? I know this personally. You don't have to tell me. I know lots of larger churches that don't have near the youth movement we have. You know why? These young people tell others about what Jesus has done in their life. I know that. And the role that He plays. A real revival will result in the membership of the church getting right with God, whether it's something in a life that needs to be out or something in a life that needs to be in it. It will result in a change. It results in people getting on fire for Jesus Christ. With lives, now listen to this, with lives lived radically for Him. That's going to be reflected in everything you do, how you use your money, everything about you. What you talk about. I had a wonderful opportunity to be with a bunch of unbelievers, people that lost this last week. And it's a wonderful opportunity to give a testimony to Jesus Christ. It's what you're about. Are you praying for a revival? If you're praying for a revival, let me tell you what you're praying for. You're praying that the Lord will revitalize your life in Christ, that you'll become more dedicated, that you'll belong to Him completely. You'll have your attitudes that are unchristlike change, that you'll belong to Him. That's what you're looking for in a revival. Brother Charlie is praying for Lakeview Church and its revival. Have you been praying for that revival? Now that you know what it is, that it's asking God to work a great change in your life to make you more dedicated to Him and more pure in your ways and that you'll just live for Him. Brother Charlie's been praying for this revival. Have you? Are you? Do you really care if a revival happens? Now, whether you care or not is expressed in your choices. First off, whether you're here or not. But secondly, are you praying? Are you examining your heart to say, oh Lord, as David said, create in me a clean heart. You desiring that? Is that what you're praying for? Is that what you're praying for your brothers and sisters? Are you really interested in a revival? Are you preparing your heart? Are you examining yourself? Are you praying? Are you looking forward to being led to the complete surrender of your life to the Lord? Is that what you're hoping for and praying for? That the Holy Spirit will work a dramatic inner change in your life as a believer. Our God is so faithful. Our God is so faithful. He promises to us that whoever hears the knock at the door of their heart and opens that door, that He will come in and eat with them. A level of intimacy complete. you want him to come in. You see, revival is about you. It's about you being brought to life. As Paul wrote to Timothy, already a believer. Timothy's already a believer. Got another. But what does Paul tell him? This person he loved like a son and had made great sacrifices. He said, Timothy, listen, Timothy. Hear this. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. He's talking about when Timothy dedicated his life. And he lived a life of dedication. But he was saying, flame, blow up on those flames. Do all you can to cause that fire to come to full life. Ladies and gentlemen in this congregation, when you desire that in your life, when you desire to be completely reawakened and renewed and committed, then God will send a revival into your life and into the life of this church. Do you believe it? Charles Spurgeon wrote a marvelous book on revival. Well, it changed my life as a pastor. Every preacher wants the church full, doesn't he? If it's for the right reason to save souls, yes. Every preacher wants that. Every preacher wants the budget, every budget need met. Every preacher does. I mean, real preachers. But that can become the goal, and that's the wrong goal. Charles Spurgeon wrote this book on revival, a great book. And you know what it's entitled? It's entitled, Lord, Send a Revival. Great preacher, devoted preacher. Lord, send a revival. And let it begin with me. Lakeview Church, listen to me. This is the truth. You may not have ever heard this before, but it's the truth. Unless that revival begins in you, it will not happen. Not because God wills it to be so, but because you will it to be so. I had a church up in Ohio that all it was interested in was itself for a while. God changed that church. It became a powerful church. But they'd been there forever. First church in that community and from the ending days on. And I said to them, this church needs to get about the Lord's work, witnessing to him, being filled with him, being dedicated to him, and being a light to this community. But I want to tell you this, you may have been here a long time, but if you don't do it, God will put a church in the midst of this community that will. That's for us too. Do you want a revival? If you do, you want your life to be changed and become completely Christ-centered. And when you do that, when you strive for that, you experience the fellowship of the Holy Spirit in Christ in a way you've never felt it before. And you know what? People will notice that. Lord, send a revival. Can you say this with me? Lord, send a revival. You're saying it in his presence now. Lord, send a revival and let it begin with me. Amen.